You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
We've been talking to you about being fruitful. Not being fruity necessary, but being fruitful. You are a fruit tree, and it is the will of God for you to produce fruit in every area of your life. What kind of fruit? Well, the fruit of answered prayer. The fruit of being successful, the fruit of the Spirit. And that's kind of where we left off and we were looking at. And we want to talk to you about that. And I want you to think of that in a way to understand this. The fruit of the Spirit, which is produced from the Holy Ghost, who has taken up residence on the inside of you. In other words, it's His fruit. How many of you know that an orange tree produces what?
Orange.
An apple tree produces...
Yeah.
Why? Because that's in the seed, that's in the DNA of the seed. It doesn't have to struggle to do that. That's who it is. And you are a born-again believer. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You're a child of the Most High God. You're a son and daughter of God. You have the very nature of God. In God's likeness and God's image, we were created. And when you were born again, the Spirit of God came on the inside of you, and He is endeavoring to take you back to the Garden of Eden, where you as a son and a daughter of God are to be ruling and reigning in this life by one Jesus Christ. It is the will of God that you produce fruit in every area of your life. Come on, everybody say, I'm fruitful.
I'm fruitful.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to keep talking to you about this. One of the things that I know, a lot of times people are, I like what Jim said, and it's just something the Lord seems to be emphasizing to me again, is yes, when it comes to changing your life, there is some outward work. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I keep my body under. But if all you do is do everything from the outside, you'll become very religious and think you've got to do it. But if you could do it, you'd already have it done. We need God, and we therefore need the Holy Ghost. Amen? Are you grateful the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you? And so He told us to work out our salvation. That doesn't mean you get to pick what it is. It means when salvation comes to the inside, there's something that starts happening on the inside that begins to work on the outside. And you have a flesh. How many know you've got a flesh? And the Bible talks in Galatians 5 about the works of your flesh. And they're nasty things. I mean, there's adultery, porneia, there's witchcraft, there's thumos, that's anger, there's all the things of your flesh. A lot of people relate that to personality. That, you know, they say, well, you know, that's just who I am. There's a lot of things who people declare that's who they are, that when they get born again, it can all change.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you know you don't have to be a person that's full of anger?
Amen.
Amen. How many of you know you can be nice? Aren't you glad God's nice? How do I get there? How do I get there in God? Well, the Bible says this. It says, you know, because we're born again, it says in Galatians 5:16 that if you walk in the Spirit... What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, every one of you and all of us can walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit just doesn't happen from 9 to 10:30 on Sunday morning for you. If it does, you in big trouble. If all you do is get in the Spirit, okay, I'm going to church. Here I go, I'm getting into church, I'm in the parking lot. Okay, it's time to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm going to do it for an hour and a half. Well, if that's all you do, that means the other hours upon hours, you're yielding to something else. And if you're yielding to something else, you will produce something. Can I tell where you walk? Can you tell where you walk? Can your spouse can tell where you walk? Either you're walking in the Spirit and you'll produce the fruit of the Spirit, or you're walking in the carnality of your mind and in your flesh, and you will produce the lust of your flesh. It's not a question. It's a which one you're going to walk in. It's not a question of you're going to produce something. You're a tree. You're a tree. He's the vine. You're the branches. You and I are always producing something, but you have control, especially as a born-again believer, of what you produce. I have control over my personality. I have control over my mind, my will, my emotions, and I got control over my body. The devil can't make me do nothing. Flip Wilson, some of you are way too young. Remember, he used to always say, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do nothing. Your flesh can't make you do anything. You have dominion. You know, everybody wants to take dominion. Well, you know what? We got to learn how to take dominion over this before we take dominion over that. If you can't take dominion over your own flesh, you're not going to be able to take dominion over spirits. Works the same way. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. But see, you and I have. So, how are we going to do this, though? So, a lot of times, I think in our circles, whether we want to think about it or not, we really can get into as much works as anybody else. And I want you free from that. And I really, the Holy Ghost really wants to help you because he's on the inside of you. He's on the inside of me. And he wants you to learn, I call it the law of displacement. Now, I looked that up on Google. Don't look it up. Now you're all going to look it up because I told you not to. All right, go ahead. But it can be kind of a weird thing. And I'm not thinking of it as a weird thing. I'm thinking of it only as if I learn to walk in the Spirit, the fruit begins to grow, and it displaces the works of the flesh. If I continue to walk in my mind and my thoughts and my personality and what I think is right and what I want to do, then I will continue producing the lust of my flesh. And see, a lot of people just want to chop everything off. But if you begin to concentrate on what's on the inside, if you begin to live from the inside out instead of the outside in, if you begin to seek first the kingdom, if you begin to do, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? If you'll walk in the Spirit, it just means to be aware of spiritual things. It means to be aware that you are a spirit. It means to walk in his word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you ask what you were. Then you will. Then you're going to be fruitful. If I walk in the Spirit, it just means I'm walking in the word because Jesus said, my words, they're spirit and they're life. It means I'm a worshiper because those that worship him will worship in spirit and in truth. It means that I'm a prayer because I can pray in the Spirit. It just means that I'm aware of him. I'm communicating with him. I'm walking with him. If you walk with him, if you'll talk with him, if you'll live with him, and you'll do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 plus one sometimes, you will be a person who produces the fruit of the Spirit on a regular basis. What's the fruit of the Spirit for? Well, it'll help you. But how about we just start doing some minister of reconciliation, some evangelism by fruit? How about in this hour that we live in, let's let the real Christians stand up. Let's be who the Lord Jesus was when he was on the earth. I guarantee you, not only the gifts of the Spirit work through him, the nine fruit of the Spirit work through him on a very regular basis because that's who he is. And so I just want to talk to you a little bit more about some things. And so remember this in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse number 8. This is where we started. I had never taught out of this particular parable. It's only in Luke that you find this. Luke 13, 8. It says, and he answered unto him, Lord, let it alone this year. So I dig around it and dung it. Well, let's put that in the New Living. The gardener answered. So this is what happened. The master came to look at his fruit tree. Everybody say, I'm a fruit tree.
I'm a fruit tree.
The master came and looked at a fruit tree. Say, I'm a fruit tree.
I'm a fruit tree.
The master came and looked at a fruit tree. Say, I'm a fruit tree.
I'm a fruit tree.
So everybody say, the master came to look at me.
The master came to look at me.
All right. And what happened? Well, he's either going to find some fruit or he ain't. How many of you know when the inspector comes, either you got some or you don't? It's not the time to fake it. Oh, fig, pop out, pop out, pop out. You're either producing or you're not. So this case, the master came, there was no fruit on the tree, and he said, do what? He said, cut it down, burn it up. And the gardener said, who I believe is Jesus. The gardener said, sir, let's give it one more year. Aren't you glad some of you have more than one year? How many, you know, the Lord is, anybody glad for grace? How about a little mercy? How many glad you're living in the new covenant?
Yes.
Okay. But how many know the Lord still feels the same way? You're supposed to be a fruit-bearing tree. You're supposed to be getting your prayers answered. Praise the Lord. You're supposed to be fruitful. You're supposed to be successful. You're supposed to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. You're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit. So you're supposed to be bearing those things. Now he said this. He said, leave it alone. Let's dig around it. Let's dig around the roots. And let's put some real good miracle grow on it. Ooh, Lord, give me some miracle grow. Anybody ever use miracle grow? Make your flowers prettier, your fruit bigger. You know what I'm saying? Everybody say, Lord, I'll take some miracle grow. What is miracle grow? It's called the Word. It's called the Word. You get in the Word and it'll be a miracle of how much you'll grow and change. Put the Word around you. That's the fertilizer you need. And so let's look at this, because I was going to go right into the other fruit, because we left off with the last three. Y'all remember the last three? We looked at, you know, we looked a little bit at the Word of God, what the fruit of the Spirit, what the fruit was. We looked at love, agape. We looked at what else did we look at? We looked at love, joy. Anybody got any joy? And peace. We looked at the big three. Love, joy, peace. Those are the ones that everybody knows. They're the first three. And yet, so I was going into the other six today, and we're going to call it quits, you know, and move on to the next thing. But the Lord said, no. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1. Let's look at the first psalm. Let's look at the psalm. Because he wants you to really understand that you and I, he wants me and you to understand, we are fruit trees. And there's things that make fruit grow, and there's things that cause fruit not to be. And if we can figure out what that makes fruit grow, then we'll be better fruit trees. Because we looked at the love, the joy, and peace. And remember, I asked you, it was 2 weeks ago, I know, but you all remember. We asked you to ask yourself questions about that fruit. When someone runs into you as a fruit tree, is there agape on your branches? When they run into you, do they run into the love of God? Well, you know, Pastor, everybody, you know, can't walk in love all the time. That's a lie. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Because, see, that's the thing we try to do. I'm trying to produce this love. And sometimes I got to deal with people that I'd rather punch than love. I like to grab them by the earlobe and slap them around for a while. I love you that much. How, when someone runs into me, can they run into agape? I can't do it in my own strength. Quit it. It's not agape anyway if you're doing it. It's not unconditional. There's strings attached to your gifts, to your love. Even if you find out their love language, do it from the love of God. When they run into you, fruit tree, do they run into agape? If they do, you can reach them as you offer them agape. When they run into you, do they run into peace? The same peace that Jesus said to the storm, peace be still. When there's chaos going on all around you, When they run into you, into your cubicle, into your office, where you're at work, do they run into peace? Are people attracted to you because your tree is full of peace? Are people attracted to you because when everybody else is sad and mad and critical, that you're rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory? And so, well, Pastor, you cannot be happy 24 hours a day. I'm not talking about being happy. I'm talking about joy. Happiness depends on your circumstances, and happiness is you putting stuff on. I'm talking about joy that comes from the inside, the same joy that was set before he endured the cross because of the joy. What was that? The fruit of the Spirit. He's full of joy. He is joy, and you've got joy. Come on, I've got joy. You've got joy. I don't have to, this may not be joyous around me, but I got joy on the inside, and my fruit can change what's going on. Amen. Come on, we're throwing joy at people. Amen. Here, here's the fruit of joy. Take it. Hallelujah. Come on. People might think you're strange when they're all crying if you're rejoicing. When they're all complaining and you're rejoicing. And so I was going on with the next one, and the Holy Ghost said, let's look at what produces fruit. So Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he does meditate therein day and night. He'll be like a tree. Everybody say, I'm a tree. Planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. Jeremiah. Familiar scripture to you all, but let's look at it. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree. Everybody say, I'm a tree. Say, I'm a fruit tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters and spreads out her roots by the river. And he shall not see when heat comes, and his leaf will be green. And he shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall he cease from yielding fruit. How many of you want to always yield the fruit of the Spirit? How many of you want to be successful? How many of you want your leaves to be green? How many of you want to be producing all the time? It doesn't matter what's going on around here. Well, there's just some things here that are very clear, but the Lord just pointed them out to me. And so we need to look at them really quick. Or really slow, whichever happens. Number one is that we cannot, you and I, if you want to be a tree that produces, you cannot receive the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to be a tree, and there's so much counsel going on your iPhone, on your Facebook, on your cable news network, there's so much ungodly counsel going on today. You don't even have to wait for it. It tries to come to you. Yeah. But there is ungodly counsel all around. And so this is what the scripture says. In Psalms 33, 11 says, it's only the counsel of the Lord that stands forever. It's the counsel of the Lord. So anybody else's counsel, their opinion. So many people feel so free today to give you their opinion. And you don't think it matters. But their opinions get into your ears, in your eyes, and in your mouth. And it messes with your trunk of your tree and your roots. And it causes you not to produce the fruit of the Spirit like God wants. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Only the counsel of the Lord stands forever. And then, remember this in Acts chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. It says, if it's the counsel of men, it comes to what? It comes to nothing. But if it's the counsel of God, you can't fight against it. Come on, so there's something about, so our the Bible says this. It says that we cannot receive the counsel of the ungodly. Turn with me to James chapter 3. Just, let's look at this. When counsel, what's counsel for? Counsel is to shape your opinion. Counsel is to influence a decision. Counsel comes to you, people trying to input into you. What's it for? It's to shape your opinion of a situation, and it's to get you influenced so you can make a decision. The only right decision comes from the counsel of God. The only right decision comes from the counselor, which is the Holy Ghost. If you get the counsel of the ungodly, it messes with your root system. And it will cause you not to be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit. All right. Hallelujah. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness and wisdom. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends from not from above. This counsel, it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. For where there's envying and strife, there's confusion in every evil work. So when someone is envious, when someone around you is causing strife, their counsel is coming from somewhere other than God. I don't care what it is. Their truth is not the truth. Their opinion is not godly. Anything that causes conflict, anything that causes confusion, anything that stirs up strife and bitter envy, you know its source is in the devil and the god of this world, because it's sensual and it's devilish. But the counsel of God, anything that's of the truth, that's really the truth, is, but the wisdom that is from above, it's pure. Counsel from above is pure. It's peaceable. It settles in. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy, and look at this, and good fruits. It's full of good fruits. So what is that like? Getting the counsel of the Lord? It's like putting fertilizer on your root system. What's getting the counsel of the world? It's like putting weed killer on your root system. And it makes a difference. Before you and I can get to love, joy, and peace, we got to take care of our root system. We got to take care, of our branches. We got to take care of that. So the wisdom is from above. It's pure, it's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So number one, we cannot have counsel of the ungodly. Number two is we cannot stand in the way of sinners. Back to Psalms 1. The second thing that'll mess with your root system, the second thing that'll mess with the trunk of your tree, it's standing in the way of sinners. What does that mean? Just simply this. The Bible says this very clearly. I'm going to skip to this one. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. I think the NIV says it the best. It says, bad company corrupts. That is not just a teenage scripture. I know every youth pastor uses it, but it's not just a youth pastor scripture. That is an adult scripture too. Bad company. If you stand in the way of sinners, what does that mean? That means, I wanted to hurry, but let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. What are we working on today? We're working on our root system. How many want to be a tree that produces the fruit?
Yes.
Every kind of fruit.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11. I wrote you an epistle not to company with fornicators. How many know what 1 Corinthians is? It's an epistle. Now, I know you're not going to hear this a lot of places today, because a lot of people say, just do whatever you want, be whatever you want. God is merciful, God is kind, and he is all those things. But if this is a book that comes with warnings. This is a book that comes with instructions. And to ignore those instructions, never to hear those instructions, is done at your own peril. Just because you didn't read the box that said, don't do this, or this is going to happen, it's like medication. You read medication, and it says, take with food. Just because you didn't look at the instructions doesn't mean the medicine's wrong. It means you're wrong. Just because you looked at it, and guys, listen, it comes with instructions of how to put it together. Just because you got four screws left over, and you don't know where they go, and you put the baby in the basket and the baby fall out of the basket, and your wife yells at you, it is your fault. Just because you didn't read the instructions. I hate instructions. I love God's instructions. Better clear that up real quick. So So this is an epistle. It says, don't company with fornicators. Yet, not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world? But now I have written unto you not to keep company. Don't stand in the way of sinners. I've warned you, don't keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, an idolater, a railer, a drunkard, extortioner, with such a one, do not eat. Don't you be hanging out, going to the movies with someone who is practicing things. Well, how are we going to reach them? How are we going to reach them? Well, you can minister to them without standing in the way of sinners. When Paul said, I become like this so that I could reach them, he didn't lose his salvation. He didn't go drinking with them to win a drunk. He didn't go watch an R-rated movie with them. Oh, that stuff don't bother me. Well, be careful what kind of covenants you're making with your eyes. Ooh, this is good pastor stuff. Hallelujah. Preach on. Number three. This is the big one. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. When you sit in the seat, Psalms 1, what messes with your root system? What messes with your tree? It says, when you don't sit with the scornful. What is a scornful person? A scornful person, as I wrote this down, a person who has made a choice to mock and scoff at God, his people, and his ways. They mock and make fun of the righteous. But these people don't just pass through, these people sit. They sit with mockers and they become mockers. Don't sit and watch someone tear down Christianity. Don't hang out with someone who don't sit with them. Because this is, I have never looked at this before. But listen to this. What is someone who is a scornful? If you look at Proverbs, Proverbs is full of it talking about the scornful. I'm just going to give you three. How can you tell if a person's scornful? Proverbs 13:1. They don't receive rebuke. In other words, they're not like you and me. We love to be corrected. We love to be corrected. Why? Because it produces a fruit of righteousness. But a scoffer, a mocker, does not take rebuke or correction. And, this is interesting, Proverbs 15:12 says they despise the one who tries to correct them. With that, there's often revenge. Yes, it is. You try to correct them, there's revenge with it. Someone who sits. Wow. And then this one's interesting, Proverbs 22:10. This is the way it tells you to do. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Not only don't sit with them, don't let them sit around you. Amen. Don't let them sit among you. And when you get rid of the one who sits in the seat of the scornful, when you say EXIT from your life, with it goes contention. It's not something to play with. Yeah, you say, but this keeps coming up, so I'm just going to say it. Yeah, but I'm married to him. I'm not telling you to do the big D. Don't. Just don't participate. Be very bold with them. That's mocking. That's scornful. I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to sit here and listen to it. I'm not going to agree with it. I don't want to hear it anymore. Because you're messing with my tree. Now, what does it say to do? It says in Jeremiah 17, do I got anybody in this room that trusts the Lord? Do you trust him? What does that mean? I have faith in him. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I trust him. Y'all trust him?
Yes.
Say, I trust you, Lord.
I trust you, Lord.
Those who put their hope in him. What does that mean? My expectation is in the Lord. When I have faith, then I also have an expectation. When I have believed that I've received something, then I'm expecting. I'm expecting to receive it. The other one said in Psalms 1, it said, how do you produce this fruit? You meditate in the word, just like God told Joshua, just like, you know, Paul told Timothy to meditate the scripture, meditate in the word day and night. And then do I got anybody in this room, and I know I do, who delights in the law of the Lord or who delights in the word of God? I found your word. I did eat it. It was the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. When you are someone who trusts God, when you are someone who has your expectation in him, when you're someone who meditates in the word day and night, hallelujah. And then when you delight in the law of the Lord, you're causing your root system. And what does that do? It's going to make your leaves be green. It's going to cause you to produce fruit when nobody else is producing fruit. You're going to be a fruitful tree, and you're going to produce the fruit of your spirit, fruit of the spirit. So what are you going to produce? Going a little long, but let me just get started on this. What are you going to produce? You're going to produce long suffering. What is that? Patient restraint, being slow to anger or despair, patient, bearing patiently with the frailties and provocations of others, bearing up also through all the trouble and difficulties of life without murmuring or complaining. So when I do those things, I begin to produce the fruit of long suffering. I produce the fruit of long suffering. Ephesians 4:2 says in the NIV, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep unity. When someone runs into your fruit tree, do they experience the same long suffering and patience? Listen to me. When someone runs into your fruit tree, do they experience the same patience and long suffering that you yourself get and want from God? If on my fruit tree is long suffering, and somebody who is annoying, because you can't do this in your own strength, but when I'm producing from on the inside out, and it's getting rid of impatience, and instead it's putting long suffering out here, and then now I can deal with people. And not only deal with people, I can do it in a way that God himself deals with me. Does anyone like the long suffering side of God? I do. Now the Bible, he doesn't say he's long suffering, doesn't say he's forever suffering. Another fruit, gentleness. It is a mildness of temper, calmness of spirit, an unruffled disposition. It treats everyone with kindness, compassionate, considerate, sympathetic, kind and gentle. It also means you're adaptable to others. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Make every effort to keep the unity. Jesus showed this gentleness when he became a servant. Even though he was God and equal with God, he left all that and he adapted to our humanity so that he could help us. Are you and I adapting? Do we have the fruit of gentleness that when people need something from us, we're able to adapt to get them to God? We're able to get them to God. I wrote down these things. Am I adapting so people can see Jesus, the servant, in me? Or am I still saying, either like me or don't, I don't care? How can I be different for you? How can I serve you and meet your needs? Are people running into gentleness when they're running into us? See, that's what the Lord did. He said, I said to him, all this is for you. But he said, no, I did this for you. When you love somebody and you got the fruit of the Spirit, you're trying to outgive them. The last one I wanted to look at today is goodness. Can I have the musicians? Goodness, the zeal of the truth. What does it mean to have goodness? The zeal of the truth, the desire to abstain from even the appearance of evil, an uprightness of soul that abhors evil. It also means being good to someone, being good to someone, a person who is generous, big-hearted, and charitable. You know, this scripture, I was looking at something, the scripture came out. Y'all remember Acts 10:38? It says where Jesus went about doing and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. We always looked at the healing all that were oppressed of the devil, but those are two separate things. He went about doing good. If you study that word good out, it's like being a philanthropist. In other words, I believe, I could believe this, that Jesus had so much money that also everywhere he went naturally, he was not only multiplying the food, he was not only healing everybody, he was just doing good. Listen to me. You can't fool children. You can try, but you can't. They loved him. They ran to him. They wanted to sit on his lap. They wanted him to touch him. Children loved him. Why? Because he was just a good guy. I said, because he's just a good guy. I said, because he's just a good guy. He went about doing good. Good guys do good. He had a big heart. And everywhere he went, I believe he was the kind of person, he was just always serving everybody. He was always there. He's the Energizer Bunny. He had just goodness oozing out of him everywhere he went. It wasn't something made up. It was just something who he was. He went about doing good. And yes, thank God for healing all that oppressed and all the miracles, but he was just good. He was just good. And he was a good guy, and he was big-hearted. And so I'm asking you, when someone runs into you, do they run into charity? When someone runs into you, do they run into someone with a big heart? Or are you so jaded? And I have to work on this one. Am I so jaded at takers that I want to hold my fruit of goodness till I see if you're acceptable? But see, goodness just has a big heart. And this is what I know about God. He gives everybody everything, whether they ever give him anything back or not. And it's real. Because he's just good. He gave you his life, not ever knowing if you would reciprocate and give him yours. He gave you everything he had. He took stripes on his back. He took your guilt and your shame, not ever knowing, because it's your choice whether you would serve him. He is that good. He is that good. And folks, if we can begin to produce from the inside out the fruit of the Spirit, and be real and genuine with it. You say, yeah, I wish you Christians would get after that. Then you're exactly the Christian or who I'm talking to. Quit worrying about everybody else and what everybody else is producing, and you start producing some. telling you, he's good. When you run into Jesus, you run into love. When you run into Jesus, you run into pure joy. When you run into Jesus, there's nothing but peace. When you run into Jesus, you've run into goodness. When you've run into Jesus, hallelujah, you've run into somebody who's long-suffering. When you've run into Jesus, you've run into gentleness.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.